Right now, you can join the YMCA for just $1. If you're ready to build a stronger routine, this is the best time to make your move. At the YMCA, you're joining more than a gym. You're joining your family's go-to place, your first swim place, and your after-work place all in one. $1 opens the door to 13 YMCA locations, virtual, on-demand workouts, unlimited fitness classes, and discounted programs. This $1 opportunity ends December 31st. Join today at ymcacolumbus.org.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome back to the Morocco channel, the Biz World channel, and another talented Morocco worldwide. Today, we're joined by one of the voices shaping entrepreneurship and personal growth across social media, a creator whose daily insights on business, discipline, mindset, and cryptocurrency have reached hundreds of thousands around the world. He's an entrepreneur, a speaker, a true force in digital leadership. Without any further ado, welcome to the show, Jimmy Muniz, aka Jimmy Podcast. Jimmy, welcome, man. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? How are you guys doing?
Well, listen, I'm doing
happy
great
to be here with you guys.
Well, listen, you as I just stated, I mean, you do quite a bit out there trying to get people educated on the concept of primarily cryptocurrency, but you talk about business and all the different things and how to succeed really in the biz world and in general in finances, right? And so this is the Morocco channel. It's also the Biz World channel. So this is going to be all over the place. And we're going to target, you know, different audiences from the youth to the business people and, you know, anyone who wants to learn more. Of course, we're going to tackle the big topic of cryptocurrency, more, you know, whether it's Bitcoin or all the others and what it takes and how much, you know, and all the stuff and the fears and the myths and all that stuff, which is your world, your expertise, that's your zone. So, but before we get into all that stuff, I mean, obviously there's a story behind everybody, and this is the Morocco channel where we highlight you and all the Moroccans of the world that are making a difference. So let's talk about your story. Cause I mean, Jimmy, you have a journey, your origin story, you know, and I know that's incredible because you just didn't happen to be who you are today without going through some phases and stuff. So if you don't mind, of course, that's always a question to share with us some of your journey and how you got to where you are today.
My story is crazy. My story.
Well, that's good.
I think all started here and in my heart. Since when I was young, I mean, people always telling me like, oh my God, you talk too much. Oh my God, you are a philosopher. And I was very little. I was like 3, 4, 5 years old. I always had to analyze things and ask questions, you know? And of course I was born and grew up in Casablanca. I was thirsty to know a lot of things. And most of stuff I was trying to learn when I was young, I was too big for me, and some stuff that it was not even my business, you know. I was curious to know about politics, about business, about everything. But deep inside, I wanted to be a businessman. I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but of course, I didn't know what business is. I just don't know that you have to buy things and sell it. Basic stuff. I didn't have no nothing. I didn't have no mentor, somebody who was like going to be teaching me, showing me what to do. And of course, it was now no YouTube, no nothing, no social media at this time, not even internet. So I had to invent all this stuff by myself by observing people. And I used to like everybody who's doing business. So my friends, most of my friends were like business people. Well, even when I was young, until a certain time, and before I was 18, some of my friends quit school and start business with their parents. So they were my friends, you know, and I start talking to them, asking them what's the business is, etc. And I start to learn. I start to be friend with I remember it was like a Jewish guy who was selling T-shirts and stuff. So we used to go buy from him. But I was like always asking him, how you do this? Where do you buy this? How come you sell this expensive? And it's like 50 dirham. How come you buy a T-shirt like this? You ask a Moroccan for 2,000 dirham. Well, I go to a Dirbalif and I find it like 45 or something, 30 to dirham. And he was explaining to me how he got the models from France and how he do this. So I start to build, like I said, I start to build what business is, and then learning from the school of experience, not from the books. Okay. One time when I left, I had to leave Morocco because I was thirsty. There was no libraries, no nothing. One time it was like really no libraries at all. So when I wanted to learn, I wanted to know what business is, what accounting is, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't have nowhere to fulfill this thirst, you know? So I had to go around. I mean, look around. I went to a library one time, Casablanca, another one. I didn't find nothing important at all. So I left. I went to Spain and France. When I went to France, actually, I start a business, small venture with that family venture, my sister. And I run this business the first day. Imagine I come from Morocco. I never been to Europe. The first day I came to France from the airport to the hotel. It was like a hotel and a restaurant and everything. I never run business in my life. I arrive around 11 p.m. I wake up at 7 o'clock. I wake up the employees. Come on, wake up. Let's go. they were like, who the heck is this guy? See, this was a crazy. I told you a lot of crazy stuff happened to me in my life. Like, imagine, I'm the first day in France. I need to go see Tour Eiffel, see Champs-Élysées and everything, take pictures. No. I came straight. I woke them up and I told them, okay, show me the business. They were showing me and everything. I think I was 18. I was very young. And then I had no experience in this business. Okay. But I had like a feeling how to run things, you know. So I ran this place and I sell it. It was like 90 million, I think. And I sell it 180 in 2 years, actually 2 or 3 years, 2.5. Okay. So we made some money.
That's a pretty good profit. That's a double. That's a nice one. Yeah.
This was a family thing. But anyway, after this, I was like, after starting this business without education, I was like, no, because each time the lawyer come to me and ask me things and tell me things, and I hate when someone is sitting by my side and telling me something, either about technology, but law, but accounting that I don't know, especially something that involves business. So I keep hearing TVR, like taxes, no, you have to pay this, a law for employing that. Someone, there is a laws and stuff. I didn't know all this. Of course, I didn't know this. So I was like, wait, I need to go learn this stuff. Okay. So I went back to university. I studied some economics in Aix-en-Provence. And I studied accounting. Okay. I really wanted to study accounting. So I did like a CPA type of in France. I didn't finish the whole degree, but I learned enough to run my business. And of course, when I was in university, I was always grabbing the books, you know, the books from Harvard Law School and Harvard Marketing, everything about Harvard in English. At this time, my English was not very, very good. It was just okay. I remember I put the book right there, English book, and a dictionary by my side. I keep reading, Webster. Reading again. Yeah, I keep reading, translating, reading. I hammer myself, yeah. I read so many newspapers, you know, the New York Times and everything at this time, and I was still in France. Anyway, I applied for all the banks, Moroccan banks. They refused me. That was the best thing that can happen to me, because one time I wanted just to work in the bank. I like it, this work. I said to myself, bankers are business people. At this time, I was not really, I didn't know what it is, okay? So like I said, they didn't hire me. And my dream about going to America, it was since I was young. So I knew that I'm going to be in America one day. How? I don't know, but I make it happen. And for sure, I was sure, and then each time I meet someone, I say, hi, how are you? He keep talking to me about my life, my business. Say, yeah, but I like it. I do this, and this, but my life is going to be in America. I used to say this a long time ago before I go to America. All right? So I was sure, and I'll make it happen. I went to Canada. I finished some part of my studies. I did marketing, and did a lot of stuff, because I find out that I was more in marketing than more in marketing sales than anything else. So I studied marketing a lot. Okay. Again, I had some kind of gift of selling, you know, but I didn't know. I mean, the gift is good. You know things, it's fine, but still you need to know the rules. What is marketing? Why is that? Why, you know, how companies does everything. And I read, of course, every successful story, but all business people, everybody that built a big business, Adidas, CNN, everything, all the books from the real owners, from the story of, the story of their lives. And of course, at this time, it was no internet. Nobody's going to tell you how things work, you know. So I have to do it my own by reading. So I read a lot of books. Read a lot of books about politics, but law, but a lot of stuff. And I didn't work same time, dishwasher, working here, delivery, pizza delivery. I did everything. So then after I was ready to go to America, I went to America. With all this in my mind, I think it was easy for me to succeed very quick. So I had I went to New York. The same thing happened to me when I went to New York. The same thing happened when I was in France. The first day I came to New York from the airport, I took a shower from the airport straight to the hotel, straight to go look for a job. I went to a Times Square without even turning myself on, you know, watching the buildings or anything. I am here to look for a job. I'm here to do business. Then later I will do the tourists. This is what I did. So I went straight. I took the map, you know, the underground map.
Subway.
So I went straight to the center of the whole thing downtown. That was Times Square, 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue and everything. I went straight there. Again, I was looking for a job anywhere, any place. I want to work for you. I want to do this for you. I want to do this for you. Anything, you know, and I found a job in like 30 minutes. Quick. When I found the job, then I went back to hotel and relaxed. The morning I started working. At the same time, I was like studying how business work, American mentality, how they like to do things, you know, because this, no matter how many movies you watch, if you are not in America, trust me, and you know this as much as I am, it's like, America, it's not like what you see in the movies. I tell my friends it's much better than the movies. There is a lot of good sides of America that we never seen in movies. We see only shooting, people bad, yeah, mafia people. And I lived in Harlem. I lived in the heart of this place.
Ooh.
And nobody ever touched me. I come at 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody ever did anything to me. They say hi to me, good morning and stuff. Hey, what's up? That was like a peaceful stuff. So it's a lot of good things in America. American people, they like to pay. They like to buy things. I didn't know this. How would you know this in the movies? In the movies, you don't. Nobody teach you stuff like this, even at school. But anyway, I said to myself, it's very easy to do business here. And I start, and because the first day, I think he gave me flyers. Oh, flyers. Yeah. At this time, flyers didn't exist in Morocco. They don't know what flyers is. Now they know. They give me flyers, and he said, yeah, we have special $5, sandwich, Coke, and chips, I remember. Three things. So this is teaching me something. Okay, look, this is special. So I used to take the flyers like this, and I don't give to people flyers. So this is me again. The guy by sending me, giving away the flyers, he thought I'm just going to give the flyers to people. No, I was talking to people, selling. Hey, look, you come here, we give you this, this, and this. You know, the great food. And I was selling. I was not giving away flyers. I was doing better. And the people start to come. By the way, this part of the story, I never tell nobody. That was just exclusive for you. I remember I was like selling to people, showing them, no, you can go together. They're going to give you this, and this is a big buffet, and this. I was like a salesman. I'm not only using flyers, you know. So when I work for someone, I always, because when you have an entrepreneur mentality, when somebody hire you in his business, you almost act like you own the place. That's normal. For you, it's very normal. You know, for some people, no, why should I do this? Oh, it's not my business. I don't care. No, I care. I care. But of course, I'm not going to stay here all my life. I will do it only for a few months. Then after I open my own business again. But the people who say, I don't care, these people, you come 20 years later, they are doing exactly the same thing. You know, but anyway, so the only problem I had in New York is where to live. And that's very important. I mean, you have to have a place because I'm not going to stay in a hotel. So I keep looking. This is very quick. That was 1 week. Mm. I already thought about all this stuff. I already know because I found a second job too. So I was like, I need to find a place. In New York, it's first of all, it's horrible. Places like very dirty, nasty, very expensive. And sometimes you don't even find it. So I was looking, and at the same time, I went one day to Moroccan coffee. Nice, and I think it was the first coffee in Astoria, the Queens.
Okay, you went to Little Morocco.
Coffee. Yeah, I wanted to, you know, even I know Moroccan. I wanted to see how Moroccans are. Between coats, I saw something that it's not really that I like. I mean, I was like, I almost had the tears in my eyes. I saw some stuff that I was not proud of. Okay. I saw a friend, he was with me at school in Casablanca. And I saw him in a bad shape. So I didn't like this, what I saw. And one guy jumped from behind my table. I was like having a coffee. And he said, "What the heck are you doing here? Where are you from?" He said, I told him I'm from Casablanca and I just came here. He said, "You say have your papers, everything is fine." I told him, "Everything is fine. I have no problem." He said, "What the heck are you doing in New York? Get out of New York now. This is horrible city," he said. "You're not gonna do nothing here. Go to Atlanta, go to Colorado, go, you will see the real America." Okay? So this guy's advice was a good advice. I don't know, from here, if you recognize me, I would love to see him.
it's gonna play. They probably can see it.
This is very important. I mean, the people in New York, they don't know this because they've never been anywhere else. Okay, they think New York is the best of the best of everything. They don't know that you can find that same job in Texas, making maybe more money in Texas and live in a beautiful apartment, clean, very cheap in Texas. So what the heck? What is New York? It's not yours. I mean, you don't own the city. What the heck are you doing there then? I mean, if I can find a job. But this is what happened to me. I came straight to, I took a bus, by the way. Bus took like a day and a half or 2 days. Long drive. I remember this drive too. Long drive all the way to Texas. Again, I did the same thing in Texas. By the time I dropped my stuff, I changed a little bit. I went straight looking for a job. In Texas was a little hard because no subways, no, you know, almost no public transportation in Texas. You have to have a car. If you live here, you have to have a car. So I was just walking, plus the heat. The heat is crazy, man. It's like 100 degrees, 95. That's nothing. Five. So I thought about going downtown like I did in New York. I went to downtown Houston. It was empty.
I've not been there.
No man's land. And I was like, what the heck is that? It's impossible. There's a lot of buildings here. Nobody. Nobody in the street. Nobody, nothing. Then I find out that it is a tunnel down. When you go to the tunnel, then you see people. You see restaurant, all, you know, the AC and everything. So I start looking for a job. I find the first job right away again the first day. The first day I find a job again. I don't know if I'm lucky or I don't know if I don't know. But the way I look for a job is different than other people, you know. I have like some different way of talking. Plus I dress up nice. I always dress up clean and I'm always clean. So any boss wants to hire you. If you see you clean, you know how to talk. And I always show the bosses that I can help them, you know. But anyway, still in the beginning was struggling, okay. But after this, the first job I found was a pizzeria place. It was the best pizzeria in Houston. I didn't know. Again, I went just like this. This is luck. Then I worked with 2-3 people, the Mexican people. They were like so bad with me, like bullying, everything. They were making fun of me. I don't know how to make pizza. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to cut. They were making fun of me big time, you know? And I was telling myself, don't laugh too much because I'm going to be laughing in a few months from now. But anyway, less than a year, I opened my own business and I was hiring cooks and everything. Guess who's coming to work for me?
Same people.
These same guys. Three of them.
No.
Are you going to tell me I need to fire them? No, I hired them. And I was very happy to see them. I was like, hello. They thought I was just a manager of a restaurant. Okay. I told them it's mine. They didn't believe it. So how come you, not even 8 months ago, you were like, you don't even know how to cut and you come in, you wash the dishes. And now you have a restaurant that's impossible for them. Okay. Anyway, so I had to hire them and everything. And from there, I opened a restaurant 1, 2, 3. Then after I sell them and I start buying, in the same time when I was doing a restaurant, it was not enough for me. I had to do something else because restaurants too much stress and everything. I wanted to get out of the stress. I start buying, cars from auction. So a friend of mine came to me and said, it's a good idea to buy a car from auctions. So we went to 2-3 auctions with a guy who had a license. So I buy 2-3 cars cheap. Like, for example, you buy a car like 1700, you sell it 8,000 quick. I was good money. I was like, oh, wait. This is better than restaurant business. And it's a piece of cake.
No stress. See,
I started to understand business the right way. Business is making maximum of benefit, doing less job and paying a lot of, I mean, less money. So I got rid of the restaurants. I had some issues in the restaurant anyway. And I was like, I don't need that. Then after that, I did some other businesses. And I start working on my computer. I started working my laptop. I remember it was my first laptop. I had just a normal computer, then I had a laptop. So I start doing business, international business, selling and buying merchandise from China. I like this. So the digital marketing and the digital business, making money online, was something again that is even better than doing business, anything else, any other business, you know. So once you start making money online, you will never go back to what you're doing before, because there is nothing better than making money online. It's a piece of cake. Plus, you don't have to have a store. You don't have to have nothing. I mean, you can do it from your pajama from home. So I start doing digital marketing and everything. I work with somebody, with like two Indian guys. I had like, we start to have like an association or something. I mean, like partnership together, doing selling digital what you call you know, if you want to go to Google, if you want a publicity in Google, you want Google to place you on the top, etc. So we SEO. Were selling these things, SEOs and everything. Was building websites. This is things that I learned in my studies. I was doing building website and everything. Little by little, I just start investing more and then work a lot less. Now I basically 99% investor. I have two companies, but I don't work much, you know. I don't work much, but I mostly invest, especially when I start learning about Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. It changed my life a lot. So this is it. This is my life.
Well, all right, so Jimmy, I mean, I didn't want to interrupt because it was just all intriguing, one thing after the other. There's so much there. So I want to just start dissecting and breaking it down a little bit. Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you because it is a true story of success. And for many people, you know, they have different ways of, I guess, calculating success and even judging success. But really what you have done is taking yourself from a humble beginning, but with a very high ambition and vision of where you want it to be. And, you know, that's it. The rest was history. And that's actually a good trait for that repeats itself with a lot of success stories in general. People who make it in this world, or at least will make a difference in their path and start really growing, they take different paths. They don't do the usual or the standard where, like you said, people come in, they do the job, they come in, they just do the job, they don't want to do more, and that's it. And to your point, they'll do that until they retire, and that's all there is. You did it differently. And so we got to go back to what you said earlier. A young kid in Morocco, you were always, I guess, curious. And that's a big deal, because people who actually grow, you know, in this world are the people who actually are always intellectual. And this is not about going to school specifically. It's about feeding themselves information,
learning.
Exactly. You learn. There's formal education. There's informal education, which is basically now more than ever available to us. You did this at the time, as you said, there's no libraries. And there were libraries, but it was hard to really get into a library when we were back in, you know, in Morocco as kids. I know that too. I mean, the only place, you had to have a card, you have to go, and you know, it was not always easy to get there, and some books may be there, the language maybe have not been there, and all this stuff. But you know, as a young person, 18, I mean, that's pretty young. I mean, to really take a leap of faith, go to France, and I'm assuming this is like in the 80s or early 90s, so I can tell that those were tough days in Europe anyway.
Last year, 89, I believe.
89. Okay. So actually we're about the same age. Probably. I think we're about the same. And so in that time, to go to France and try to make it there in a business. And by the way, your story about doubling up a business that you had no idea about. And by the way, this is something I want to just pinpoint. People think that you need to know something about something to be successful at it. That may be true in most of the scenarios, but you know, the concepts are sometimes very simple. I mean, you take a business, you know what it needs, you got to take it to the next step. And actually, when you come with an eye that's open and a brain that is very open to like, okay, we need to make more money. This is what the business looks like. We have problems here. We're going to change things. And you start making moves. Those moves are going to double up things. And exactly what you did, because you were an outsider. You see everything that's wrong. I mean, you said it, like you wake up in the morning, first thing you knock, you're the one who's waking up the employees. That's a question right there. You know, these people are probably sleeping later.
It doesn't happen. I know.
that in itself shows that the type of person that you have been and all along.
I was thirsty to do things. I mean, because I had my mind, my brain has a lot of things and I didn't practice nothing yet. So I had to do a lot of things. That's why people sometimes they just and again, like you said, education is good, and education doesn't have to be in university. I did both. You can learn by your own now, and especially now with the internet, you get so many things to do. I mean, so many ways to learn a lot of things, you know. So just learn. If you know, it's better than someone who doesn't, because if you know a lot of things, it's easy for you to analyze. It's easy for you to grow. It's easy for you to make money. Like you said a few minutes ago, you don't have to know business. This is for all my consultations with my clients. They said, I want to sell computers. I have to be good at computers. No, you don't have to be good at computers. You can sell computer chips. You can sell AI the software. I don't care. You don't have to be good at it. You need to be good at doing business. Now, you hire people. Who knows? But you need to manage these people. You need to be on the top. Whoever is going to be, if you hire an engineer in computers, he's not going to know how to sell, how to buy, where to buy, what is the margin, etc. So you will do this. Let him take care of the computer. If something is a problem, or if you need any new technology, you ask him. But for the business, you don't have to know things. You just need to know how to manage a business. And you need to have the entrepreneur mentality, which is a little bit of adventure, a little bit of craziness, a little bit, because, you know, if you wait for the computer system, I mean, the engineer is never going to do business. 99% of all doctors, and they don't go do business, not much, you know. They are scared because they say, no, it's too much restriction here. Oh, no, it's this, we're not allowed here. But entrepreneur can jump, sell anything, do anything, because he's crazy. I mean, he's like adventurous and he dreams, okay? When you are specialist in something, you don't dream because there is no dream. You know what you know and that's it. But business people dream. They say, why not? Why not doing this? Why not creating a computer who can do this? You see, always the idea come from entrepreneur, you know. Now, Steve Jobs was more of this than computer scientists. Trust me, because he used to have the best computer scientists in the world. By the way, his partner, I always forget his name, his partner is a genius in the computer system. But Steve Jobs, not much. But he knows something about people, about how the behavior of people. So that's why Apple succeeded. They didn't succeed because of the engineer. Anybody can hire the best engineer in the world. But if you don't have a vision, you don't have the craziness, the dream, you know, the guy was coming to the office with no shoes, something is crazy, you know, the way he was thinking. And he was thinking about the people, how the people think. This is the best way to make money in a business. The hell with technology. I mean, you can always find engineers everywhere and you hire them and do things.
Well, you know, Jimmy, you're talking about Steve Jobs. I mean, he did say it, you know, you hire people not to tell them what to do, but, you know, to have them tell you what's going to work. So you can literally, to your point, he knew how to work with people and how to get results. He had the vision and he did the exact right thing to make it work and he succeeded. And by the way, that's actually the trait again of all successful people. They can put together a team of all the great minds to do things. But if they actually the ones who guide the actual vision and the mission and really they already know where they want that company to be. But it's something that you said earlier. You're an entrepreneur from day one. So your mind's always looking. And by the way, that's something you said something very specific, and I'm going to relate to it now. You know, you said I was working at a store, but when you work at a store anywhere, you know, the best way to operate is when you treat it like it's your own business. And by the way, that's true for sales. As you said, you're in sales. I'm in sales. And in sales, I trained a lot of people, and I always say this to them. You know, think about the company as your financial institution. They're going to pay you. That's your salary. So that's their investment. They're doing the marketing, they're doing stuff. But you are really the business, you know, that's Inc. You Inc., right? So you're making it work. But if you start with the mentality of you running the business, then you succeed better because now you're taking it. Now, this is not you doing the work and somebody else is going to just take the advantage of you. To your point earlier, it's temporary. You're building it because you're making it work. And here's a very good example you mentioned, because I know exactly what you're doing as a job when you're talking about flyers. Listen, I've been in New York since 92, and I know exactly how it is. You know, yeah,
I walk on the Fifth Avenue, man. The Fifth Avenue is a lot.
I know. You got corner guys, you're giving flyers. By the way, I've seen them. You know, they take the flyers and dump them in the garbage. They just spent 2 hours in the garbage.
No, when they talk to me, I make them want to taste the food. And by the way, at this time, I was selling the food. I never taste the food. I don't know what the heck is the food. I'm not a chef. I'm not nothing. I was just selling.
Well, that's because you have that in you, right? And that's the thing. Yeah. You didn't just limit yourself to the bare minimum. You went extra. And that whoever goes extra is always going to succeed more. And again, to your point, you saw the value. The whole purpose of the flyer is to get people into the store. But someone can take the flyer and throw it away. This is actually, it's funny. I'm sure you've dealt with real estate. And I've seen people who are agents, and I also trained real estate agents for 20 years, who actually do this. They take someone to show the house. They literally walk them to the house. Here's the bathroom. Here's the kitchen. Here's the living room. Here's the bedroom. I mean, really, like, they don't see that it's a bathroom. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to eat there, or the kitchen, they're going to what? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like there is no value that you're bringing in. But to your point, had they taken the time to start building a visual, well, here, imagine yourself and the family in this living room. Start thinking about, like, visualizing a nice little dinner. We're in Thanksgiving time. It's a family together here around the fireplace. Yeah. But that's what you did. You created the visual that you got their taste buds going, right? And this is you. Exactly. That was you then. But what I want to also, it's funny that you said, you know, something about Times Square. Where you stopped is where I started too in New York. I literally went from the airport. I swear to God, I took the bus to 42nd Street and 5th. I dropped there and I said, take me to the nearest youth hostel at the time because it was the cheapest thing. And I went to the nearest. It was literally on 17th Street and 5th. And I went there for the first night. It was like $14 a night. It was good just to find a place. And the next day, it's looking for a job, which, by the way, I wanted to stress a lot in this discussion. See, most people, I'm going to go and live my life. See, that's the wrong approach. Let's build your structure, your foundation, and then you can live a better life. And that's what you do. Every place you went, you looked for a job, secured finances, a shelter, you know, where you're going to live. Finances, and then let's do the rest. Then the rest is history. Most people will do the other way. They spend their money, and they're like, "Oops, you know."
And they go take pictures and stuff. Nah.
Yeah. That's really the wrong thing, you know. But
I went back 2 years. 2 years later, I went back a real tourist to New York. I took the best hotel. And, you know, the first hotel I said there was a motel. It was like a hostel, actually. It's like $11. Imagine $11. In New York, it doesn't exist now, I'm sure. It's probably minimum $60, $50 now. Okay? So, and it was four people in one room, you know?
We went the same place, man. I think that's the same one.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. This is, and then a year and a half or 2 years later, I came back, I booked a hotel in Crown Plaza Hotel with a limousine and all that shit, you know? And I said to myself, hey, okay, you know what? Now I'm going to reward myself. Why not?
You know? Well, that's the key, right? You took the steps necessary to make it to succeed and stuff. The other thing is you were not stuck with location. You're looking for opportunity. I love what you said. It's funny, you went to Astoria. Now, for people who don't know Astoria, Astoria is an area in Queens, in New York City, in the boroughs, where there's a very good presence of a Moroccan community. And, you know, so a lot of people come and kind of settle there, you know, because it's easier to be amongst your community. The language is available. The food is good.
By the way, this is a mistake.
Huh? I'm sorry?
This is the mistake.
Well, I never went.
Like, not too long ago, but this. If you want to succeed, don't go look for Moroccan. We love Morocco. We always love Morocco, Moroccan. And this is not going to stop. But if you come to America, go look for American, man. You are in America. Look for American. Learn from them. Work with them. Then wait until the weekend. Probably you can go 1 hour or two, have a coffee with your friend. It's okay. But don't come to the community. Stay with them. If you stay with them, you are just in Morocco, in New York. So nothing, no evolution in your life. You know, you don't learn nothing. I mean, if you're Moroccan like me, we can hang out together. What the heck are we going to learn from each other? Nothing. I mean, we know what we know. But if I hang out with somebody else, I learn a different culture, different stuff. Okay. And of course, if something bad, I'm not going to take it. I'll only take the good things, you know. And I learned the language too. I had to speak, you know, speak language. Same thing happened to some Latino people coming to America, like Texas. They come straight from Cuba or something. They have papers and everything. They start working in the Latino area, talking to Latino people. They are here 20 years. They don't speak one word English. They never.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Well, so Jimmy, so let's, I want to just highlight that because it's important. You know, I think what Jimmy's saying here, it's not that you don't want to hang out. We love our own people, right? It's normal to actually, we're in the Morocco channel right now, two Moroccans, highlighting Moroccan talent. However, to your point, Jimmy, you know, and by the way, there's a reason people do that, because they are afraid. They think it's easy for them to just assimilate within the same community. But what they do, to your side, it's a disservice to themselves, because they, to your point, they just stay there. They don't come out. You, like, listen, I can tell you a true story. I lived in New York for almost 20 years before actually I went to Astoria for the first time. True story. Wow. Oh, I haven't. Really? I've never been there. Matter of fact,
one month, I think, in New York, and I went to Astoria very soon.
No, but true. This is booklet. No, but this is the truth. I lived in New York. I actually lived in Staten Island. There were no Moroccans at the time in Staten Island. This is like, I lived in Staten Island in 2008, and I moved to it in 97. And when I lived in Brooklyn, there was no Moroccans at the time in the neighborhood where I was. So just to give you, and so it wasn't because I didn't want to, you know, get with the Moroccans. I was literally in my job, my career path, you know, learning all my stuff. And, you know, I was in the insurance industry and I was just building my own momentum there. And there was no time. To your point, we were just doing our thing, right? Making it happen. But so that's enough with it. So I want to go back to something also you said when you were a kid. You had a vision. You wanted to be in the U.S., the American dream. By the way, again, I can relate to that. That was my dream before high school. I saw a billboard in an American center that says, would you like to work in Epcot Center? And this was, I was literally in fifth grade, not fifth grade, I was in middle school. And I'm like, okay, I need to learn English. And I went to learn English until I made it. And I literally got hired to work in Disney. That was my dream. But that's the thing. You had the vision. You wanted to be here. And you did what it took to come here. And you did also the thing that most people don't. Because even when I left Florida, people told me, what the hell's wrong with you? You can just get a job. Like, you just finished Disney. Stay here. Why don't you just, you know, stay here locally and kind of get a job and be relaxed? No, I'm going to New York. At the time, I did that. So I moved, you know, and you have to keep moving until you find yourself. And it just really is. Someone said, hey, what are you doing here? Go there. And I love what you said. You can learn from others, you know, the culture and stuff. Of course, if you're going to be, by the way, that's a mistake that's been happening in a lot of migration of Moroccans all over the world, is that they settle within the same community. Yeah, and they build the community, but they don't ever assimilate and really mix in with the rest. In the U.S., you become American. I mean, I know you and I are as American as it can be. You know,
absolutely. But American mentality is, look, I find myself American way before even I know it, man. It was like I had a girl that I used to know. She's American 100%. And she saw me working in a restaurant. I mean, this is my restaurant. I mean, she knows that was my restaurant. She helped me. She used to work at Crown Plaza, bringing clients and everything. So we hung out together. She became my girlfriend and everything. Then she saw me open another one and another one. And then after that, she saw me selling cars. And then I wanted to open an office of doing something, some business. She's like, well, you have this restaurant. Why are you doing some other stuff? It's not for you. It's, you know, for her, it's crazy. She doesn't know. This is what we call American dream. So a lot of American, they don't know American dream. I'm telling you. And we know American dream better than a lot of Americans. They don't know it because they take it for granted. They think American dream is just because here democracy and it's nice and it's nice high rise. No, American dream is to be entrepreneur, to make things happen, to be free of bosses and everything, to be your own boss and to be able to make money while you're sleeping. That's American dream. But we like to work too. I mean, work is a pleasure. Entrepreneur is a pleasure. It's like when you hooked. That's it. That's it. You want to build another company again. And it's not for the money anymore. It's just because it's like, oh my God, this is good. Let me do it again. Let me try some different business. Let me do this, et cetera, et cetera. So this lady, she's American, and she was surprised why I was doing all this. She said, you have money. You should stop. You should stop. Just work and go sleep. I said, no. Why should I stop?
So that's a great point. You know, again, for people watching, especially the Moroccan youth, and you know, and it is a misconception. The American dream is really for the people that come in. That's where the whole concept of America has been built on, immigrants. They come in for the value, for what it's offering, and so on and so forth, and they make it. And it's really not for the lazy. It's for the people that wake up and make it happen. And you're right. Listen, I have kids, and I'm sure you have kids. Our kids are born here. They don't see it the same way you and I have seen it, or we saw the value of where we are.
Not really.
Because to your point, we provide them with maybe a decent life, and they're happy.
Better life, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like all they know is like they're gonna go to school, they're gonna have a job.
Stupid. I'll tell my daughter since when she was young. This is very stupid of me. By the way, all guys are watching me. Don't do that. I was telling my daughter all the time when she was young, you would never go hungry. I will always take care of you. I don't care even if you're married. Trust me, Binti. I told her, trust me, Binti. You would never need no money from nobody. You will be taken care of all your life. And this mistake, we shouldn't say that.
And now she's really, she relies on you.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't.
No, I'm saying.
She's pretty much okay. But one day she repeated back again to me. Because I was telling her, oh, be careful. You know, life is hard. You said we are fine all our life. There you go. You see, she gave me back. But she doesn't have the entrepreneurial thing. No matter what, I give advice all over the world. People listen to me. I changed so many lives. People listen to what I'm saying. And my daughter, she thinks she take it a different way. I told her, what, don't you watch my videos? Said, I have you here.
Jimmy, how's that? We're the same. I do the same. My kids don't watch my stuff. But you know, it's funny because, again, to your point, we are changing. I mean, one day they're going to see this and it's going to be something for them. But you're right. I think the concept is that when we come in with the vision and a dream, right, you want to do stuff. And by the way, you said something about, you know, it's not about being in a business and having money. It's really a thrill. It's actually a dopamine hit. You are really having a good time. And it's also good to diversify your portfolio. You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket. You want a little bit of everything. And that's a concept. Yeah, but that's what makes this. Listen, even in my career path when I started, right, I did different from what people. I mean, listen, I started as an insurance agent, you know, in Brooklyn at the time. There were like 10 agents in the same clinic. I mean, literally, we were in one place. Now, imagine you come in the last guy. And by the way, this was a Latino Spanish community. Now, I do speak Spanish. And at the time, I was kind of like the intruder, right? I was like the guy that just came in into their turf. They already had their hookups. So I had to actually do better than them to succeed and show that I can be, you know, worth this job that I was given. So I was trying to do, I did exactly different from them. One being going more hours, going around the neighborhoods, finding new, you know, new partnerships and so on and so forth. And actually, to your point, as it happened to you, about a year later, I became their supervisor. A year and 2 years later, I was the manager. And then I was running the department in about 3 years, and they reported to me. So it's funny, by the way, it looks like, I mean, for people that are watching, maybe I said, like, these guys are full of shit. We're not full of shit. We've, you know, we've built a good momentum.
We don't have to.
Well, we don't have to, but you know, just for those people who may criticize this, but the idea is what we're trying to convey as a message is, you know, you need to be different. You cannot, you know, be following the rules of, like, you know, you just get a job, do this, other people are ahead of you, and that's it. No, you come in, be you, do your thing, and make it happen. And if you really want to succeed, you will succeed. As you did, they reported to you, they reported to me. And there was nothing wrong. This is not like, you know, I'm boasting or anything. But the idea is that I had a vision. I had a dream. You had a vision. You had a dream. You went for it. There was nothing. There was no stopping you. So, Jimmy, this is exactly, I mean, I love what you said. You are impacting the world. I mean, you are also very good in the social media space. You're sharing a lot of, you know, mindset, coaching, mentorship, and all the stuff about entrepreneurship. You just had a few, you know, shows that are like with experts about these things. And you're making an impact day in, day out. And your story itself comes from success. It comes from humble beginnings, but with a great view of who you want it to be and where you want it to be. And there is no limit when you have that. It's the mindset. And that's actually taking me to the next one. Let's talk about your mindset and what can you tell people about, you know, how important is mindset and everything that, that we do?
This is the best question ever. People don't understand. That, I swear to God, you know, you have no idea. And it's, I think American too, everybody in the world, they think, I always give this example. I want to be millionaire, but I don't have $1 million. So somebody has to give me $1 million to become millionaire. You don't understand. It's like, even if I give you $1 million, I swear to God, in 6 months, it's going to be gone. I'm sure. You know, it's not about money. People think it's money. We do whoever make money because they have money. Or some people think they have money and education. They forget the most important part. The most important part is right here. It's just a mindset. If you have the mindset of making money, or you have to have this hunger. I am hungry. Like I said in the beginning, I was hungry of information. I wanted to learn because I know, I knew that around me, a lot of success is built with knowledge of something. So I had to know, okay? But the hunger in general, what I wanted is to be successful. And I knew I swear to God, I was young, but I knew it. I knew that was not really hard. Because I saw some people are stupid and they are very rich. I was like, what the hell? Come on. If this guy can make it happen, it's going to be easy. But there is a way to be rich. There is a way to make money. And this way, you cannot learn at school, nor in a book, nothing. You have to have a mindset. This mindset is, first of all, if you don't have this mindset, you can learn. It's easy. And second of all, what's very important is how hungry you are. Are you hungry? Really? You want to make things happen? Or you just want things to happen to you? You want the luck. Like, for example, the luck. A million times I explained, look, all this are around one thing. It's a mindset. People who look for the luck, you know what they think? They think Zuckerberg is lucky. I don't know who's all the big rich people that are lucky. They don't know how many times they fail, how much money they lost, how much nights they spend learning things, working hard and everything. Then at the end, they see the end of the picture with the big beautiful car and a cigar. They think he is lucky. I don't have this luck. The luck he created, his luck. He was building the luck by working hard, by first of all having mindset of success. And the mindset, if you have the mindset of success, you will be hungry. You will be like someone, I want to know. I want to know a lot. I want to do a lot. And hey, one thing is very important too. A lot of people are not, this is what I say, because with the maturity, you know, now I'm old enough to say it, and I repeat it nonstop, 24/7. If you are poor, you are, I'm going to say a bad word, you are lazy. I'm telling you. If you are poor, you are lazy. You gotta be lazy, unless you are disabled. If you're disabled, we need to work for you. If we don't work for you, if you don't give you money, we are stupid. Okay? Now, if you're not disabled, you have hands and a brain, just normal brain, you don't have to know mathematics, and you are poor, that means you are lazy because you can work two jobs, three jobs. Well, you never been at school? It's fine. All right. The hell with school. Let me learn. Like I said, my audience always go with mechanic. Work with him 1 year. You will learn. Bingo. You're going to start fixing cars on your own. You don't have to have your own garage. In the beginning, you can do it 1 year on your own. Fix cars. You know how many people? I am the stupid number one in the world. I don't know the hell. I don't know nothing about cars. Nothing. That's why I buy always new cars. 2-3 years and I sell them and buy new cars. Because I don't know how to fix cars. Nothing. See? And then a lot of people like me. Learn. This is nothing. They have never been to school. They don't have no degrees. They don't want to learn. They say, no, I work with the boss, but he scream at me. The hell with you? He scream at you? What do you want? The teacher scream at you. Your dad scream at you. Your own wife scream at you. That's life. Get over it.
Tough enough.
If you want it, this is the mentality. What I'm talking about here is the mindset of the successful people. It's not like, oh, no, I want to have a job that I cannot work too hard. Like one guy, he was telling me he's doing security, but it's too much. He said, I want to make money in the beginning. Then after, it's too much work. I said, do you want to make money? I don't think you're going to make money. You're going to stay poor all your life. Too much work, he said. And he said, I have 2 kids and stuff. I have to be with my wife, my kids. I mean, come on, man. You see, here the people, they want to work a job with the beautiful boss. He's going to say, I love you. And he's going to give him the money, even if he doesn't come. He doesn't work very good. You don't know that the client and the boss, by the way, between quotes, every boss, if you listen to me, every boss screaming at you, he does not scream at you because he hates you. He cannot hate you. He needs you. He likes you. But the problem is he has enough stress from the client. Okay? The stress from the client of doing the job right, he is worried about going to the client and the client complain about the job. And the client can scream at him, okay? So he is like taking the stress and, of course, giving it to you. But you need to understand, he has responsibility. It's all right, man. Just do your job. It's fine. And if he scream at you, that's good for you. You don't want a boss to be nice to you. You know why? Because that's good for you. So you learn and then you go do your own business, okay? If the boss is nice to you, then you're going to do bad job, bad products, And it's going to ruin his business. People don't understand this. If you don't have this mentality, then you have the right mentality to succeed. Okay? This is it. This is mindset. That's it. No need no money. No need no degrees. No need nothing. If you have the mindset to succeed, you're going to shut up, work for anybody, wash dishes, do anything, shut up and learn. Work and learn. And if you work for somebody, you need to be the nicest person in the plant, in whatever factory, wherever you work. I always do that. I was always the favorite. Anytime. You know this restaurant in New York? I used to, the guys, they bring the flyers, and they tell him, oh, you know what? This guy give us, the guy you sent over there, he's giving us the flyers, and he say you have great food. And the guy was Korean, his wife, him and his wife. One day, look, that was my first day, second day. And he was telling his wife, look at this guy. He's selling. And then one day, it was a French guy come in and asked for a jambon beurre. Stupid French come to New York, they want jambon beurre. I explained they want ham and butter, you know, in the toast bread. One day, an Arab guy come. And then again, I translate to them. And there was a Saudi guy. And the guy turned himself to his wife. He said, this guy knows everything. He loved me. You see, want to work with somebody? Love me. I come on time. I am clean. I am nice. I do my job better than he expected. Then I am have a peace because they love me. They want to pay me more. And of course, no matter how much they pay me, I will always learn the business and go do my thing. But if you're lazy, you come late, and you don't do the right thing, of course the boss is going to scream at you. And of course, if you do your work badly, that means you don't have the will to be successful. You are a failure. Now, forget about the business is not yours. Okay, you're ruining things for your boss. But this is your future too. That's your business. This is how you get your money. Imagine this boss has less client. He's going to fire you, man. Oh. Just think. You know, if you don't have this mindset, you will never succeed. So it's all about mindset. Like you said, you work in the business, you take it like yours. That's it. But don't sleep on it. You just take it like yours for 6 months, 1 year, learn, and go do your business. Do your own things. Because 1-2 year maximum, you can learn anything. Okay, anything. Okay? So you do it on your own. Don't tell me, no, I have to have a lot of money. No, you can do it anywhere. You can be consultant and doing things. You could, shit, you can do a lot of things, plus digital, plus a lot of stuff. You just sit down and open YouTube and teach people how to do these things. You will make money on YouTube. Just teaching them how to do this business that you've been learning for 2 years. And don't sit there and keep them being employee forever. Because 2 years is maximum. If you stay more than 2 years, it's maximum. Again, there is the last thing I want to say here. Some people, they like to be called, oh, you're good at doing this. They like it. They are proud. They just want to be employee all the time. And he's like, oh, I am the best at doing this. They don't understand. They just want to be the best. Like somebody mechanic, I am the best mechanic. But he's working for someone. The boss, he doesn't know shit. He knows a million times more than the boss, and he's working for the boss, and he thinks he's smarter than the boss. He is more proud going to his house and his friends. He's more proud than the boss. He should not be. The boss is more proud because he's the one making the big money. But he is proud. Why? Because he knows a lot of things about cars. That's wonderful. But you're an employee, man. Shut up. If you learn, then do your own business. You do your own business. Then you start being proud of yourself the right way. So stop being proud of anything you do. Be proud of when you make money and the people work for you. Then you are a smart guy. Okay?
Well, Jimmy, I'm listening to you. It's amazing. There's a few things that you just said that are powerful and definitely something we want to send to the youth in the U.S., worldwide, and specifically in the Morocco, you know, community, the youth of the Moroccan community. But here's the thing. You said it. You know, first of all, there's only two ways. You're either working for someone and making them wealth, or you can work for yourself and make yourself wealth, right? So these are two things. There's nothing wrong with you working for someone to learn and get the knowledge, the skills. But to your point, there is a limit. 2 years, 3 years, you get all you need, and you move on. And that's okay. Yeah. They'll replace you. It's okay. There's always room for other people to work for other people and so on and so forth. But you're right. There's also the sense of entitlement. People, like, I love what you said. Some people, they just want to go. This, by the way, I've debated with this problem for many years. When I hear someone says, oh, I don't want to work overtime because they're going to get, you know, they're going to take more taxes from me, right? Oh, you know, I'm like, well, I don't want to get promoted because they're going to tax me more. Dude, you got to make twice the income. You get a 30% of that. You're still 60% ahead of the game. What the hell's wrong with you? You know, you're going to make more money. I mean, like, how does that even work? Like, someone gives you that response. I'm like, okay, whatever. And you're right. These are the same people. They will do the same job for 25, 30 years, retire, and have a minimum, you know, social security check or, you know, something like that. And that's about it. Not good. I love what you said, Jimmy, about the idea that you have to be lazy enough to be able to make money in this world, especially now. You're right. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. I mean, you can do stuff. YouTube. You can learn and you can teach. You can sell. You can do stuff. E-commerce. You said it yourself. E-commerce, trading. I mean, there's so much stuff that can be done. It's not even like, you know, there's no, if you're complaining about not making enough, that's because, to your point, I agree with you. You're lazy because you don't want to do more. Yeah, and I love what you said. This is a true story about, like, again, we share a lot of history, similar history. When I worked in Disney, true fact, you know, I used to be fun to work with. I mean, I come in with a smile. I was, you know, happy. I did all kind of, I was excited about the work that I did. And I used to call in for overtime everywhere in the parks. And so they had a hotline. They call you if you wanted to work extra hours, make some, because this is true. I was making $5.65 an hour. This is in 92, right? That's what it is. So that's not enough. But I worked in Disney. I lived in Disney. So they take most of the money and you get a couple hundred left in the bank. Yeah. So to me, I needed more money because, again, that's not enough. I had fun, but I still wanted. So I call these hotlines and I go to work, you know, for these other parts of the park. Let me tell you something. I pick up the hotline. Oh, Hisham, we want you. We have room for you. They'll call me. They'll say, hey, we got something going on. Why? Because when I went to those places, I was like, I go to, like I did, you've been to Walt Disney World, I'm sure. So if you go to Main Street, USA, there's the Emporium, right? That's the first store to the left.
I've been to one in California and one in Florida.
It's the same Emporium store, right? That was like my first overtime, you know, experience there. Dude, I came in, I started putting the stock in, you know, I mean, the stock, the inventory. I would do like 10 times, 10 rounds, but before someone else does one round. You know, my area was always the stuff. I did security. I mean, I was, you know, doing great with people, having fun, doing crowd control, dancing with them, doing stuff while doing a job. I sold glow sticks, you know, those things, you know, when they for the kids and all the things. Yeah. Dude, I get 3-4 aprons a night. Most of the average person sold one. I was breakdancing on the freaking, you know, Main Street USA and selling those things. I mean, but what I'm trying to convey, guys, it's how you behave. As you said, you were different. You cannot basically be more successful and you're just like a clone like everybody else. You need to be different. You need to have your own signature. You got to do something better. And yes, charisma works. Being multi-talented and not just, you got to do something. You got to be like eloquent. You got to have fun. And that's the other thing. If you don't have fun, you're stressed. You're not happy. You're not going to produce. You're going to suck at what you do. And yes, if you're lazy and you don't want to work extra, well, guess what? Don't expect extra from anyone. And yes, people will scream at you because you're affecting their bottom line. It's amazing. So Jimmy, quickly, for our youth in Morocco who today, I think there's a trend where people, they want everything quicker yesterday. No extra work, no nothing. What would you tell these people? Because frankly, I see a lot of that happening where people, they just want the luxury car, the luxury life, the luxury everything. Because we see a lot of that on social media and everybody's like, oh, you can become a billionaire overnight. What would you tell these people? And then quickly, I know we're over the time frame, but you know, also want to talk a little bit about your cryptocurrency expertise and how you would advise people.
Yeah, me too. I have to meet some people.
I know, so quickly.
First of all, why I came to start doing videos because of that question you said. I wanted to show people that it's very easy to be rich and to do business, to make money, to be successful. It's very, very easy. When I say easy, does not mean one day or just to press the button right here. No, it's easy. There is a way to do it. You just need to know the way. Like I said, very, very important. The mindset, extremely important. The mindset, whatever I was saying, if you are a category of a people who's lazy, category of somebody who's like, oh no, I don't like somebody to scream at me and stuff, you're going to be poor, very poor. That's it. If you want to be successful, let go of things. You have to let go of things. That's it. Don't take it personal. I used to have a boss, you know, I learned a lot from this boss. This boss needs like 10 hours to talk about him. This is my admiration. The guy I admired a lot is Lebanese, Christian. He used to scream at, he loved me more than anything. He's crazy about me. He wants me to work for him and everything. He give me a car, give me an apartment in here in Houston. He take care of me. But he wouldn't used to scream at me in the business. I didn't know this. I was like, fuck you and your business. I don't care, man. The hell will you do? I was just like, oh, I'm Moroccan. But then he grabbed me. He said, after we finish work, we sit down, he light a cigar for me. We sit down like the bosses, you know. I was just working for him. And he was telling me, look, don't take it personally. When I scream at you at this, for business and everything, we have to, because we have stress from the client, from everything. We have to scream at each other. It's all right. The cook, the chef, everybody scream. That's normal. But after that, we love each other. I appreciate you and everything. So think about your success. If I didn't see my success with this guy, I wouldn't stay with him. Scream at me, kiss me, do whatever you want. If I'm not going to succeed, I'm not going to stay with you. Now, to come back to your question, it's very easy to be successful. You just need to have the right mentality, right mindset, and you need to know that it's possible. That's why I say it's easy. It's possible. It's not impossible. Success, it's not given only for this people or only for this people. No, it's given to you. You watching me, you can be successful. You can make things happen. If you change your mentality, change your mindset, change the way you see things, okay? Stop hating the rich people. Start loving them. Start admiring them. Start learning from them how they get there. And please don't tell me all rich people are thieves or they sell drugs, because 99% of rich people are very successful, very honest people. Only 1% of the people who are successful are thieves or they sell drugs. Now, if we go back to the poor category of people, 90% of a category of the poor people are thieves, are bad people. They are in the street, they mug, they do everything. So in the poor people, we have more thieves and bad people than a rich category, trust me. Okay, so just think this way. And instead, I'm not saying love them, but admire them. Try to see why the heck is this guy successful. Forget about the big business people. Just your friends in the street. Why is he successful? Just because he wake up maybe at 5 o'clock and you wake up at 10. That's something. He's not with you all the time. He's always learning something. He's working hard. He's very nice, with his mother, and he's very nice to people, very polite. Learn the way he dressed, learn the way he talked, learn everything, every point, so you can be successful. That's it. It's very easy. And learn to do business, no matter what things you do. Like if you're a mechanic, if you're a builder, like you work like building whatever, you can do remodeling for apartments, you can do every business, everything you do, every job, every work you do, you can do from work to business. There is a bridge. Learn how to bridge from work to entrepreneur. And think about your boss. Your boss knows less than you in the work, but he knows more in business. So learn business while you learning how to do things. And that's it.
Quickly, I know you got to go, but cryptocurrency, yeah. What do you tell people about that?
Okay, cryptocurrency is the future of the money. See, no matter what, you like it, you don't like it, you think it's a scam, you think whatever you're going to think. If you don't like it now, you will like it in the future. And it's going to be too late, because it's going to be way high. Like, so the Bitcoin is going to be maybe $100 million, or maybe more. Okay. So you need to believe, you need to take the cryptocurrency. Very, very quick explanation what cryptocurrency is. Cryptocurrency, it's not money. It's not new money. It's a new way of money. So money, nobody create money. Money is a value, just a value. It's like $100 is a value. Value. And when you have a $100 bill, like you got a $100 bill, it's the way of the money goes from me to you. Okay. And this $100 actually is just paper. It's nothing. But we have to create a way to transfer the value of my money to you. I have gold. I have house. I have, this is value. This is value of money. But how can I buy a cup of coffee? I'm not going to take a piece of my house to buy a coffee. I have to have a tool. This is the money. That's why we use the bills. We use the bills. It's a way to circulate the money between us, because we need money. We need money to pay things. You need money. If I work for you, you pay me, etc., etc. So you need the money, because money circulates a lot. Now, this circulation of money, the new technology called cryptocurrency, is just a highway, better highway of circulating money, and secure, good. First of all, secure, decentralized. This is unique. And if you love democracy, you should love the cryptocurrency, because it's decentralized. No government in the world can touch it, can print it, can do anything. Like the Bitcoin, for example, nobody belongs to nobody. There is no owner for a Bitcoin, no religion, no country. Nobody can say, although we know it's been created in America and California, but we don't know who did it. Okay. And this cryptocurrency is going to stay forever. Why? Because of the blockchain. And for the real world assets, new technology in the future is going to be. Okay. So now you are buying, for example, a house. Like in the future, you're going to be buying a house. Like, for example, now, if you have a building in New York, it's going to cost what? $2 million, $10 million to buy one building in New York. Okay? Now, you cannot invest in New York unless you have at least $1 million to buy an apartment in New York. You cannot. Okay? Now, in the future, very, very soon, you're going to be able the whole building is going to be tokenized. It's like we're going to put it in little pieces of tokens, and this is going to be through a cryptocurrency. You will buy the building, but you can buy it, but not the whole building, of course. You can buy $1,000, $2,000 of one building in New York. While you're not in New York, you can be in Morocco and buying a piece of a land or piece of real estate in Australia. You never been to Australia like me, for example. You can invest in this buildings and stuff. So this is going to be a new technology that's going to be built in the future, very, very soon. They are working on it. They just need their little regulations. And this is the future. So a cryptocurrency is, first of all, is a way of circulation money, faster, easier, secure, okay? Nobody can touch your, nobody knows who sent to whom. Or, well, after we can go to the bank and see, back of that thing and see the address belong to whom, etc. But just one address, you have one address here, somebody has another address somewhere else, you can send them money just by clicking a button. And this is beautiful. You don't have to go to a bank. You don't have to go Western Union, nothing. This is new technology. It's when it's a new technology, trust me, you cannot stop it from happening. Okay? Now you're gonna have some up and down, some scammers in some of the cryptocurrency. Of course you will have this. Trust me. Like I said, Al-Mahlaba in Morocco, there is somebody who sells sometimes bad food or maybe dog's food and sell it to you. I mean, in the traditional business, there is always scammers. And it will always be. It's not only crypto, because some people stop thinking about everything. They think it's the only scam in the planet is crypto. No, it's not. Scammers are everywhere. They are in real estate. They are in insurance. They are everywhere. Okay? So it's normal that crypto has this is part of scammers. So don't trust no crypto, no nothing, no project if you don't know what it is. Okay? But there is some cryptos that is very important. First of all, it's a Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a store of value. It's going to be the future gold. Nobody's going to carry gold anymore. People, because we use our digital, we use everything digitally now. Wow, we talk on the phone. Now look at us, we're not here. So we do everything digitally. So the money is going to be digitally and the value of the money is going to be digitally. We don't have to have like big bricks of Bitcoin, of gold, and then we're scared that somebody's going to take it from us. No. And then again, if you have $10 million worth of gold, it's going to be like a big truck of gold. Can you take this gold to somewhere else? Can you take it to another country? Can you take it from New York to Texas? You cannot. There is no way. But you can take more than 100 kilo of gold in your phone, in your pocket, and go anywhere in the world. And just by pressing the button, open account, you are what you are. Okay? So the value of the money, it doesn't belong to government anymore. We're going to take it away from the government. We're going to take care of our money. We work hard for our money, and then we take care of it. We take it no matter where you are. And of course, if we make benefits and everything, we have to pay. Of course, we have to pay taxes and everything. Yeah. But think about the cryptocurrency as the future. And think about what I'm saying. You will like it in the future, because expect this to happen in the future. Very now, it's happening now in America. Some people, they don't want to sell their house with the dollars. They want Bitcoin. Okay, so imagine you like my house, you want to buy it. Okay, now in the future, this is going to happen. If you come to me, I would never accept dollar from you. I don't have dollars in my bank account. I have like what, $2,000? That's it. All my money is in Bitcoin. everything. Okay, even real estate assets, and I put my money in the Bitcoin. So imagine in the future, somebody wants to buy a car, and you like this car, and you start negotiating with him. He's gonna say, "No, I want Bitcoin only." Okay, so what are you gonna do? This is what's gonna happen in the future. And in the future, every building, every real estate, every value, things like a Picasso, the painting is going to be like Bitcoin, Bitcoin only. All right. So what are you going to do at this time? You're going to be opening a new account, or you're going to go buy Bitcoin with the dollar. Now, last example I'm going to say, you probably see it everywhere. Your house 10 years ago, it was like 600 Bitcoin. 5 years ago, it's like 45 Bitcoins. Now it's 2 Bitcoins. What happened to dollar? Dollar is sinking. What happened to Bitcoin? Bitcoin is, we need only 2 Bitcoins to buy your house. Well, in the 10 years ago, we needed 600. Imagine. And your house in dollars, it was $200,000. Now your house costs maybe $550,000. It's more expensive in dollars, but it's less with Bitcoin. So what would you do? Would you carry dollars or would you carry Bitcoins? Imagine what you can do with 600 Bitcoins. You will buy the whole neighborhood, buddy. Imagine.
Well, you what see? Is Bitcoin now? It's like $80,000 right now. I mean, they went up to 120.
No, it's 87 now, almost 87.
Yeah, it was 120 in like a couple of weeks.
Time
yeah.
to buy.
Yeah, again, it goes up and down, but that's okay.
Ah, of course.
Well, thank you.
I mean, that's good.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. Now, just
in the future, when it's going to come to a one time, it's going to be the strategic reserve for America. It's going to save Americans' debts. It's going to save American dollar, because the American dollars, no matter what, even if it's like 60% of the people all over the world use the dollars, dollar's going down. It's going down in value. Okay. Now the Bitcoin, if the government start buying Bitcoin and selling gold, the Bitcoin is going to grow faster than gold, and it's going to save the dollar. The dollar is going to grow. Okay. So if you are now watching me and you don't live in America, and of course, I'm sure you have people all over the world. So if you want to live the same beautiful life as American, do like American, buy Bitcoin. No matter where you are, you live the same standard life. The same standard. If you buy Bitcoin, if your money in your account in your euros or any dollar or anything else, even the American dollar, you are going down, brother. That's it.
Well, you know, it is the way for the future. I mean, you know, I just came back from Dubai. Dubai is actually adopting Bitcoin. Oh. It's gonna become one of the countries and cities that will actually operate with Bitcoin almost everywhere.
I know.
And by the way, thank you. I know you got to go. What's a quick coin? What's an app that people can use for Bitcoin and stuff to do the stuff that you can recommend?
I mean, if you are in America, use Coinbase. It's a very safe. Coinbase, Europe, America, all over the world, basically all over the world, Coinbase is the safest one. You just open an account, give them all your information, and connect to your bank application with the application, and send the money from your bank to the application and buy Bitcoin. If you don't know much about this and you don't want to learn a lot about it, just buy Bitcoin only. Buy DCA, buy every time, every month, buy whatever you can, buy it. Okay. That's it. You don't have to learn, but you will see next year, we're going to talk about $200,000 or $300,000 Bitcoin. And maybe in 2-3 years, it's going to be $1 million. And you will see your life is going to change a lot.
Well, Jimmy, right. thank you so much. And, you know, I enjoyed this. You're welcome. Right. Folks, I hope you had a great time with Jimmy with us here. I mean, and do follow him. I mean, he's known as Jimmy Podcast. Do listen to his shows. Follow him on Instagram and wherever social media. You're gonna get just a whole wealth of knowledge from him. So, Jimmy, thank you so much. And we'll be talking another time. Bye for now.
Thank you, my man. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too, man.